Hello everyone and welcome back to Guy in Purple with me, Lissy McIntosh, where we talk about serious F1 stuff in a not so serious way. Hello everyone, happy new year. How are we all doing? I hope you're all well and you've had, I forget what I was about to say. I was about to say, I hope you've had a great Christmas and new year. That was 19 days ago, Lissy. It's time to move on, babe. It's time to look forward to the new year. I cannot believe it's 2020. That's so cliche. God, I'm just a big walking cliche this morning, aren't I? Well, I hope you've all had a nice time off. If you're starting work again, I hope that's going well. If you're starting school again or uni, then I hope that's going well. This is a tough time of the year, I am aware, for many people, myself included, but guys, we are essentially, let's be essential here, essentially 1 month away from the start of the season, from the Bahrain Grand Prix. And, you know, it's going to be, and then do you know what? It's non-stop. Okay, so I hope you're all making your plans and having your fun now, because for 23 weekends of this year, there will be no plans. Okay. I'm joking. Obviously, one race has now just been removed from the calendar, with the Chinese Grand Prix remaining cancelled and nothing replacing it, which is sad, means that there's one less race for me to go to, but I won't say too much. I will give you guys all like a big update of what I'm going to be doing this next season before Bahrain, so within the next month. And I also have, oh my gosh guys, such exciting podcast updates, but I don't want to jinx it. I'm very superstitious, but all I can say is if everything goes to plan, Going Purple is being taken to a whole new level. I'm not going to say too much, but yes, I will give you an update on everything I'm going to be up to this season very shortly, because it's going to be crazy. But we've kicked off the year strong. I've just got back from Mexico about 3-4 days ago. I don't really know, man, but we have completed our first work trip of the season, so congratulations to all of us. And I'm very excited to say that I'm going to be doing a couple more races with Formula E this season. Their season ends in July, I'm pretty sure, and obviously it started last weekend, as you have all seen now. I hope you've been enjoying the content. I put out a race day, a vlog of each of the days on TikTok, and what it's like to be in the garage, and there was Mitch Evans content that came out, and today is all about Stoffel Vandoorne, the reigning Formula E champion, who has now also been announced as the Aston Martin Aramco Cognizant Formula One team's reserve and development driver for this season as well. So yeah, it's very, very exciting to talk to him and just have like a proper kind of chat. I think, you know, the other content I made throughout the weekend was very, I'll talk you through what each day looked like, but I'm glad that this interview is very kind of solid, and we, you know, we really dig deep into his racing background, and of course he was Nyck de Vries's teammate at Mercedes, with Mercedes now leaving the sport. You know, that can change. I can't imagine changing teams, changing teammates, having your old team leave, and then going into a season off such an incredible season of winning a championship, and almost thinking, oh, I've got to do this all again now with all of that change behind him. And I think one thing that really interests me about athletes in general is how they keep their mindset where it has to be. I mean, I think we all experience pressure in our life, and we all experience bad moments and, oh, I don't think I did so well there. And I definitely have that, you know, there's days, especially, you know, over race weekends, whatever, where I think, oh, that interview wasn't great, but I've got to go again in 15 minutes, or I've got to go in again in an hour. And you just have to pick yourself back up again, because you're the only person truly who can give yourself that pep talk. And of course, you know, Stoffel and other drivers have teams behind them, but it is tricky. So we talk about all of those kind of things. But I really enjoyed Mexico. It was absolutely fantastic. The people there are so lovely. I can't even believe it. And I met so many of you over the weekend. Guys, I'm not going to lie, it will never be normal to me that halfway across the world someone knows who I am. Like, never. I said, because Tony and Pitstop were there as well, and I'm really glad they were. I'm very glad that, you know, we get to tackle projects like this together, because I think we all approach it so differently from a creative point of view. But I just said to them after, I was like, guys, I was like, I'm gonna be honest, I'm gonna go home and cry later, like just pure happy tears. You are all so incredible. And there was one moment where we were on the grid and I look and I heard just like Lizzie so faintly, and I was like, surely that's they're not saying my name. I looked up into the grandstands and a group of you were just waving at me, and I was on the grid like, oh my gosh. And those are like core memories, guys. But yes, this was my second, well, I went to the London EPRI last year, but only for a day, and it was very different. But I think it's so cool how, and I think this is something people don't realize enough about Formula E, is that massive sustainability push. So yes, you know, the whole EPRI is powered by 100% renewable energy. That even things down to the battery cells in the cars are reused at the end of their lives. Things like this, they make such a huge difference. But also the fact that, and as Stoffel says later in this interview, you know, the DNA of Formula E is that they race in city centres. And the reason for that is so that you can get public transport there and it's easily accessible. And, you know, they race in places like Cape Town and London, and last year they raced in Seoul. And I think that's so cool. I got public transport to the London EPRI last year. And with this, I didn't know much about the public transport system in Mexico, but it was like a, what, 15-minute drive from the city centre, which the city centre looked so cool. And I really, really, really want to go back to Mexico City, because it was just beautiful. And I think it was really interesting, and I mentioned this on TikTok, but the racetrack for the Mexico EPRI is the Autódromo Hermanos Rodríguez, which is also the F1 track. So that's where the Mexico Grand Prix is as well. And, you know, I haven't been there for the F1 race, but it was very interesting to see how the paddock was even set up differently between the two series. And, you know, Formula E is very much a standalone series, but, you know, from my background working in F1, it was really interesting to see those differences. And I just thought, so basically where the paddock is, like where the paddock would be in Formula One, that's where the fan village is essentially in Formula E. So if you can imagine, like the pit lane is on the right hand side, and then, well, okay, let's go from right to left. So we've got the track, the start finish straight, the pit lane, and then on the other side of the pit lane is where team motorhomes would be, and team like hospitality in F1, and that's would be like closed off essentially to the public, and it's much harder to get into the paddock. But in Formula E, their teams have a little seating area, each team just outside on the paddock side, and then that's the fan village as well. So it's much more accessible. And I think I really liked how Formula E was very, and I'm not saying Formula One isn't, but I would say Formula E was so focused on the fans. Like there was so many activities, there was so, you know, there was like a climbing wall, and there are things like that at F1 races as well. And I would say the entertainment at both is incredible. But it was just very interesting to see that. And yeah, we got there. It was a crazy weekend. We got there on Thursday. Well, landed on Thursday at, I think it was 7 a.m. at the hotel. And I just, you know, I never normally get jet lagged, guys. I really don't. I think it's because when you're busy and you're going from place to place, you don't even really register, if I'm honest, what time of day it is. You just sleep when it's dark and you wake up when your alarm goes off. Do you know what I mean? And you're awake when it's light and you eat when everyone else is eating. But I haven't traveled in a few months. I was so jet lagged. Like, it was not even funny. Why was that like low-key Australian? You know, like, I can't actually do a really good Australian accent. Anyway, I'm not going to go there. What was I even saying? Oh yeah, Thursday. So we go to the track, we actually do this interview with Stoffel, and I've got to say, guys, first of all, it was so noisy. So I'm really sorry. This is literally live from a racetrack, and they were cleaning the track. There were different safety car procedures going on. So if you hear car noises in the background of this podcast, that is why. But I actually think that's kind of cool. I've never done a podcast on the pit lane before. Like, hello, first time for everything, eh? So yes, we got there, we did that, and then we went out for dinner that night. And as I say, like, everyone is so nice there. They're just so accommodating and welcoming, and oh, we went to this place and they had these sparklers. I was living my best life, guys. I don't know how they buy, okay, this is really not related to motorsports, but I don't know how they buy so many sparklers. Like, they give them to everyone in the restaurant, and I'm sure there's multiple people coming through that restaurant every night. And then Friday, we got to the track. We watched free practice in the Jaguar garage. I made a video all about what it's like to watch a session in a garage. And I kind of want to do the same in F1 as well this season. It's kind of talk more about what it's like to be in there, because you just get such good insights from the drivers, from the teams. You get to be amongst all that reaction of when something goes well and when something doesn't go well. And then I also interviewed Mitch Evans that day as well. And that was, you know, I really wanted to take an approach to this Formula E project, as I, you know, I'm still learning about Formula E as well. But I think one of the most fun ways to get involved and be invested and engaged in the series is just to get to know the drivers more as well. And so that's what the whole thing with Mitch was just kind of getting to know him. And as I say, you know, I'll be at other races this season, and it will just be about talking to other people. Really sadly, that day, I was meant to also talk to Lucas Degrassi, who's racing for Mahindra. The liveries are beautiful in Formula E. I'll tell you, I would Google the DS Penske one and the Mahindra one. Those are probably my two favorites. Oh, and McLaren, because it's like neon. Not green. It is definitely not green. Orange. So I would recommend Googling that. But I was meant to talk to Lucas Degrassi about the car. And one thing I really wanted to get deep into was, you know, all the aerodynamics, the technical side of the car, and how they managed to create this speed whilst also, you know, maintaining all these sustainability points, and how it's different, and how they recharge the, you know, the cars throughout the race, and what attack mode is, and how strategy works. All, I have so many questions, but sadly their car had to go somewhere. I'm not entirely sure where, but the car had to go and get prepped for something for the weekend. I think it might have been for the free practice session, FP1. And so that wasn't possible, which is really sad, because, you know, I wanted to have lots of different angles of content, but it's okay. We have rescheduled it to the next race, so that will all be coming then. And I think that allowed me this weekend to just get a really good feel for the Formula E, you know, track and teams and paddock and all that kind of thing. But yeah, I was talking, I had been kind of like shown where we were filming with Mitch, which actually was really cool. The Foro Sol, I don't know if you've seen pictures of the Foro Sol at the Mexico E-Prix. I mean, one thing I would say, it was so much busier, and it was like absolutely packed. It was a sold out show. But we were in there on the Friday, so it was completely empty, because qualifying and the race in Formula E happens on the same day. So there's no fans at the track on Friday, unlike in F1. So anyway, I was waiting in the Foro Sol. I'd been told, like, you can set up your mics, cameras, whatever. And this car is going around on the track, right? And I was thinking, well, there's no session in session. Do you know what I mean? There was meant to be no cars on track. So I'm thinking, why is this one car just going around and around and around and around? What's that song in Freaky Friday? It's like, oh, never mind. Fucking all this. I see this car, right? And it just pulls over. So it hasn't crashed. It looks like someone has, in my mind, had an issue, like something happened in their body and they've pulled over safely just off the track. Then this ambulance comes over, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, what is happening? And they put this like tarpaulin over the car, and they shout, he's not responsive, force extraction. And okay, I'm going to be honest, like, when you work in motorsport, or if you're at a motorsport race, I'm sure many of you were at Silverstone last year, when you know that a crash or something bad has happened, I could not breathe. My heart stopped and I was like, oh my gosh, what is happening? I was like, I don't even want to look. I don't know what's going on. I felt so shaken up by the whole thing. And then another ambulance came, a stretcher. They put a screen up so I couldn't see what was going on. And I can't put into words how horrific that feeling is when you're watching something like that happen out on track. And I was just thinking, why is everyone acting so normally? Anyway, Mitch comes over. I have not set up one thing. And bearing in mind, you know, we're all on tight schedules here, right? Okay, so I'm like, oh, sorry. Like, I was like, you're just going to have to wait there. I'm just going to have to set the whole thing up. And he was like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm not. What can you, like, this thing has just happened. What's happened? Like, all the ambulances have just taken someone to hospital. And he was like, oh, that's a practice. And I was like, I did not feel myself, guys. It's great that they do practice extractions, but I was just, I've never felt so incredibly just shaken up in my life. Anyway, that happened, and we chatted, and it was all good. And then Saturday was the race day, and it was really cool. I was in the Andretti garage for qualifying, and I think you guys might have seen a couple of, you know, explanations of the Formula E qualifying format, but it's a knockout style. So they split all of the grid into two groups, and then it filters down into like the best of that go forward, the best of that go forward into duels. And then the last round, the final, the two finalists battle it out on track for pole position. Now, I think that's really cool, especially if there's history between two of the drivers and they're the only ones left out on track battling out for pole. I just thought it was sick. And I was in the Andretti garage. So Jake Dennis was in the final. And he started on the second row of the grid. So the whole thing was just very, very cool. And then I did an interview with Formula E TV about my thoughts on the weekend. And then we did the grid walk, which I just absolutely love. It's so interesting to see drivers right before they get in their cars, what each of them are doing. And same in F1 as well, you know, how they both approach, you know, that crucial moment where you have to stay in, you know, you have to stay in that right mindset, but you also have to be prepped and ready to go and talking to your engineers and things like that. So yes, but it was an incredible weekend. As I said, it was so nice to meet so many of you, and it was really nice to chat to Stoffel. So yeah, I mean, I've given you a bit of an overview of what we talk about now, but it was nice to kind of just have a proper chat with him, and he's such a solid guy. And I hope you really guys enjoy this. That's my other accent that I'm really good at. I'm joking. I hope you enjoy it. Let's get into the Stoffel Van Dorn interview. And yeah, if you enjoy this podcast, then give it 5 stars whilst you're here. You know what I mean? And you can follow me on Instagram and TikTok. And I'm going to stop talking now before I say something really cringe. Okay, let's get into it, guys.
I know, it's a good one here. It's a good party here normally.
Really? You're the first Formula E driver on this podcast.
Great.
So it's actually a massive honour.
Amazing.
I'm kidding. Well, Stoffel, thank you so much for joining me. It's an honour to have you out here in Mexico City. Beautiful place. I want to start by having a chat with you about how your racing career has changed. You've raced in so many series, had such a successful career so far. How is it going for you, and where did that love of racing start?
I would say I'm kind of on a journey. Mm-hmm. And I've had, you know, along my career quite a lot of success, won quite a lot of championships. Mm-hmm. But it obviously all started with go-karting. Mm-hmm. When I was about 5 years old. My family doesn't really have any history in motorsport. Mm-hmm. But my dad's an architect, and he designed a go-kart track, and that's kind of how I got a first taste of go-karting.
Yeah. So
in the beginning,
did you race
obviously
at his track?
It wasn't my dad's track, but you know, he kind of designed it, and that was
so
it.
So you were like, yeah, I know which way, like, got
exactly.
A heads up.
So that's when I first tried it. Obviously, loved it. I pretty much tried every other sport, yeah. But I never really had the same passion that I had for racing.
Sounds like you've had really incredible memories from very early on, and obviously, you're coming off an incredible year. Congratulations on your championship last year. How are you looking back at that season, and what memories are you going to try and bring into this season from then?
Yeah, last season was really a great season for me. Obviously, winning a championship is always nice, I think what really was the key to that season was the consistency that I had. Mm-hmm. I only won one race, Monaco, which is probably the best one.
Yeah, I'd win Monaco if I could.
I had a lot of podiums through the year. I was always kind of up there. And I feel like looking to this next season, I feel like that's something that I gotta try and keep. You know, that level of consistency really helped me, you know, to build a push on the championship. Mm-hmm. But there's so many things changing this year. New cars. I'm changing team as well, yeah. Going with Jaspenski. So it's not gonna be that straightforward.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. I mean, well, two things really. First of all, growing up, Formula E wasn't around when you were growing up. So what was the dream then? And now, having won the championship, you know, what do you think a younger Stoffel would be saying? And how have your ambitions changed as your racing career has progressed?
Yeah, I mean, definitely in the beginning, I would say, obviously, it's everyone's dream to get to Formula One.
You've been there, done that.
No, but I wouldn't say that was on my mind when I was growing up and like starting go-karting. Mm-hmm. I'm not from a super wealthy family, so I was just really enjoying what I was doing and just grabbing every opportunity that they gave to me.
Yeah.
First of all, I was really happy to be able to make the jump from go-karting into cars. I got an opportunity there with the Belgian Federation, you know, kind of funding that, and then ultimately I got picked up by McLaren. So I was kind of not sure whether it was going to be possible to get there, but ultimately I got my chance, and I'm still very, very grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now Formula E, I was maybe not expecting to be here,
yeah.
but you know, I had this great opportunity with Mercedes to represent them and race for them, and now I managed to win a world championship.
Amazing! Oh, that's a success story if I've ever heard one. So, I mean, looking back, obviously your previous teammate has now left the sport. You've left your old team. Your old team has left. There's so many changes coming into the season. How much, you know, in single seater racing, you know, a lot of times there's two people in a team. So when someone leaves and you join a new team, how much does that really change your mindset going into a new season?
It's never straightforward to change teams, just because, you know, I was 4 years with Mercedes, and obviously you get comfortable with the working environment, with the people that are there, with the procedures, and even the relationship you're building with your engineer is super important. And you know, to leave all of that behind and join a completely different outfit is you know, is taking a little bit of time in the beginning to build the personal relationship. You know, just speaking with my engineer, the communication within the team is something I have to get used to, and all the procedures that they have put in place. But I'm lucky to be with a very strong team as well. They've won a lot of championships. I've got a very competitive teammate as well with Jeff. So I'm looking forward to it.
And I can imagine, you know, throughout your career, you've built a team yourself as well. I know in F1, you know, your trainers will go with you, but have you brought anyone over with you to your new team as well?
I mean, I still have my management, which have been with me for a very long time, and you know, it's kind of the people that, let's say, I always call before and after the race, and just kind of someone out of the actual racing team.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, you know, someone that's there to support you, that is able to give you advice, and I think it's very important to have a person like that.
Yeah, it's an intense life a lot of the time. It's non-stop. You know, talking about Mercedes, I'm so intrigued by how Formula E is growing and teams come and go. You know, we've got McLaren coming in this year, but I want to ask you from your point of view why you think Mercedes left the sport, and what you think the future of Formula E is. You know, F1 is sometimes called like the fastest growing sport in the world, but I see that with Formula E as well, and I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure exactly about the reason why Mercedes left.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it was obviously COVID, which was a big hit for the championship, you know, because we race in city centers. That's the DNA of this championship. And suddenly, you know, we were not able to travel anymore. And you know, that definitely took a big hit on the championship. Together with that came probably, you know, obviously a slowdown in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, manufacturers struggling, and then we had to take a decision to commit to Gen 3 or not. So I think all of these factors together probably, you know, came to that decision for Mercedes. You know, it's a shame because we obviously won two championships after they've decided to pull out of the championship.
Yeah.
But that's sometimes how life goes. I would say I was lucky to kind of know the decision quite early, and I still had a year to figure out where my future is going to be. So, you know, from that perspective, it's been okay.
Well, talking about your future, you've also got another exciting project, being the reserve driver with Aston Martin. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How is that going to change your year? And obviously you'll be splitting that role with Felipe as well. Have you met before? Do you get on well with each other? What's your year going to look like from here?
Yeah, it's going to be very busy. You know, Formula E is a lot of races we go to, and then Formula One, I mean, we know the gig, it's a lot of traveling as well. But I wouldn't say, you know, it's kind of similar to what I did last season with Mercedes. I was, you know, I was racing in Formula E with them, and then I was reserve driver, part time for them as well. And I think with Aston Martin, it's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be kind of similar in terms of the amount of time that I spend with them. Probably even more, actually. You know, I'll be more present at the races, and I'll probably be a bit more involved in the development of the of the team as well. You know, Aston Martin is a team that's investing a lot of money. They're kind of on a journey right now. There's a new factory coming up, a new simulator coming up. So there's lots of things to work on, and I'm excited, you know, to kind of come into this year and pretty much have everything new.
Yeah, I have a good feeling about this year. You know, joining a new colleague in an old colleague as well, I suppose, with Fernando Alonso. You race together at McLaren. How excited are you to be back together? And I mean, your careers have gone in different directions now, but do you still talk? Are you still friendly with each other? How does that relationship look?
Yeah, definitely. We still have a great relationship. It'll be nice to, you know, to start working with Fernando again. And obviously, we were in a complete different environment than we were a few years back. But you know, Fernando is an impressive driver. He's still so hungry to race, and I think he's seen the potential in Aston Martin as well, what they can do in the future. So it'll be great to work together again.
It's great. You know, you're so involved in the F1 paddock, FE paddock. I've got to ask you something though. I've heard that Formula E parties are way better than F1 parties. Can you please confirm or deny?
I definitely confirm that. Yeah, they're pretty good. So,
really?
You know, if you're ever staying out after a race.
Well, now I'm going to make sure I am.
Yes, definitely.
Monaco, I might have to just find a way there. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to this season. I think it's going to be fantastic. The most exciting thing about this year with Formula E is the Gen 3 car. You've driven it at testing.
Yep,
just
definitely.
Just tell me how it felt to be in that car.
Gen 3, it's a different animal to Gen 2. It's got a lot more power. The tires have changed. The looks of the car have obviously changed quite a lot. But I would say it's definitely the most difficult car we've had in Formula E. It's very easy to make mistakes, actually. So
not really.
Putting laps together is going to be very challenging in qualifying, but you know, it's part of the game, it's part of the job, and hopefully we can just do a better job than everyone else.
Yeah, what is the game plan this weekend and this season in general?
Apart
from winning the championship.
I mean, there's I hope I can fight for the championship, definitely, but there's so many unknowns coming into this weekend that I'm not really setting myself any specific targets. I just want to get away from Mexico feeling like I've done a good job, I've not made any big mistakes, let's say, and especially for the team, I hope we can, you know, we can just learn a lot about this type of racing and really start to build a good campaign.
I think that's so interesting, you talking about leaving and feeling good. I think as an athlete it must be so hard to not really criticize every little thing you do, especially when you've got another race coming up next week. How have you trained your mind to get into that place of, okay, we just go again, you know, soon?
I think I've always been pretty good at, like, kind of putting my emotions aside and just being honest with myself and with everyone. Admit mistakes, you know, not blame anyone. Mistakes happen, and I think as long as you learn from them and try and not repeat them, then everyone moves forward.
Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Good luck this year, and I'll see you around.
See you around.
Thank you for joining me. Cool.
Cheers.
You are done.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.